Welcome back to the Bloom Daddy Experience, Sam and Otis, News Radio 1170 WWVA. We're going to continue our conversation with Henry Doktorski. He lived at New Vrindavan for 16 years. So thank you for sticking with us here, sir.
No, it's my pleasure.
Okay, so we're going to move into what was life like in Marshall County in the hills during that time period that you were there. So first of all, what was your first day like when you were there?
Well,
that's a good laugh.
I could talk forever on this, but I'm going to cut to the chase.
Okay.
I did visit once in July of 78, just for a few hours, and I really liked what I saw there. I saw a community of sincere seekers of the truth practicing bhakti yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And the Krishnas follow, it's called bhakti yoga. It's a religion, but it's also a yoga where you dedicate yourself to spiritual understanding. And they were pretty severe. I had already visited Maharishi Mahesh Yogi's Transcendental Meditation University in Fairfield, Iowa, and I was disappointed because the men there wore white shirts with ties, and I had long hair and stuff. But I met the Krishna devotees. Oh my God, the men shaved their heads except for the ponytail or sika. There was about 20 guys living in the men's ashram on the fourth floor of the administration building, and they didn't even have beds. They just threw their sleeping bags on the floor, and they were vegetarians. They didn't eat meat, fish, or eggs. And I thought, and they went early in the morning at the temple, you know. But I thought these people are like the Green Berets of the spiritual movements.
Interesting.
They're tough.
So,
you know, and I was interested.
Sure. Now, once you I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You know, I mean, I wanted something that was like austere. It was, you know, like boot camp. You know, I wasn't a namby-pamby type guy. I wanted to dive right into this bhakti yoga, and this, I thought, was the place to do it.
So tell us, once you were there, what was your name? What did you go by?
Well, yeah, after about 6 or 8 months, I asked to be for initiation.
Mm-hmm.
All right. At first, you're just a novice, but then you get initiated, you become like a full-fledged member. And Swami Bhaktipad, who was pretty much the founder of that New Vrindavan community back in 1968, it was originally supposed to be like an LSD commune, but it turned into a Krishna farm. And anyway, he became my spiritual master, and he gave me the Sanskrit name Rishikesh Das, which means servant of the master of the senses. Krishna is the master of the senses. And so anyway, I had mostly really good times, you know, living there. If you wanted to, should I say something about the daily routine?
Well, that's what I was going to ask. One of the things you mentioned earlier was helping to construct the Palace of Gold and being involved in that. I've watched a lot of documentaries on the Krishna faith and also for the Marshall County location. It almost, though, came across when it came to building that, it was almost like slave labor. Did it feel that way?
Well, you know, I haven't visited for 10 years, but it's certainly very, very, very different now than it was back then. Back then, it was a commune. I mean, in order to live there, you had to give up all your possessions and your money to the temple. It's kind of like a monk in a monastery. They take a vow of poverty and obedience and stuff like that. So back in the 70s and 80s, it was quite a bit different than it is now. And I never thought of myself as a slave, although I did work how many hours a day? I mean, 12 hours a day for no pay.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the yoga process. I was doing bhakti yoga, and our neighbors the farmers who lived on the ridge and of other ridges, they used to call us Swamis white slaves.
Oh, geez.
I always thought that was kind of funny,
yeah.
You know, because I never thought of myself as a slave. But of course, you know, that's naturally what they would think. We were slave labor. And in one sense, perhaps we were.
And of course, the Swami Bhaktapada is a notorious name here in the area now after, of course, the dark incidents that happened there. Did you know him well? What was he like?
Well, you know, he's the reason I joined New Vrindavan when I did, because I met him. It was August of 78, and I was on my way to graduate school in Texas, and I was just stopping for a few days to check it out, and he convinced me that I should put my graduate school on hold and dedicate my life, at least for the semester, to studying bhakti yoga with him, which I did. And then later on, I became, I would say, very close to him.
Mm-hmm.
When we were doing our Western music program from like 86 to 93, I would visit him at his house three times a week, approximately. And we would discuss music and the liturgies for the temple, because he was broadening things. And I always, you know, I always admired him from the first time I met him. I thought of him as a wise, loving, artistic father figure.
Mm.
And perhaps one reason that I was so impressed by him was because my own relationship with my father, although he was a great guy, was not very, you know, emotionally satisfying for me. So all my time with him until the last few years when he really started to go off the deep end, and I began to think, oh my God, what's he talking about? You know, it's like really strange. And then finally, when I was convinced that he had been giving fellatio to teenage boys that lived in his house, I basically confronted him. When he denied it, I decided he was lying, and then I stopped serving.
And that was the moment that made you step away from the group.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And not just the group, but my spiritual master, and I really did love him. It took me years to get over that, you know, because he was like a very close father. You know, I sometimes drive him in his limousine to New York City. We went to Tennessee, where his old college was, and we always had a very loving, I would say, relationship. Mm-hmm. In fact, when I was out on the road, for about 5 years. We come back once a month for 3 days for the festivals. But I'd call him up every Sunday and tell him how I was doing, and he'd give me some news from the farm. And he'd always end the conversation by saying, "Rishikesh, you know, I love you."
Yeah.
And I believe he did, you know. But unfortunately, he loved himself and sucking on you know what more than that.
Well, you know what? I'm sorry, Mr. Dr. Orsky. There's never enough time. There is so much with this story. We're going to have you back on, because I've got tons more questions that, of course, that gets into the murders and everything that went on there.
Of course.
But there's not enough time to cover it now.
Before we go, tell your listeners that I have 13 nonfiction books about on Amazon. They can find my name in the books on Amazon.
And I was going to highlight the author of 13 nonfiction books about the history of the community, and I will share that link on our social media, but would love to have you back on.
Of course.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, again, thank you so much for your time. You're listening to the Bloom Daddy Experience News Radio 1170 WWVA.